Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Bill. Bill is the CEO at AVI. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
So prior to joining American Veteran Industries, can you give us a brief background of what you've been doing?
Sure. So for the last 6 years, I developed a community sustainability program called Operation Smart Move. It was developed based upon their environmental injustice in the different locations around the world. But we targeted Atlanta because in Atlanta, on the west side of Atlanta, they have the highest concentration of disease, death, and birth defects in the southeastern part of the United States. So it was a perfect candidate to actually target that community to help them. It's in a poor, very poor Black community. It's very close to the stadiums and stuff, but a lot of the tributaries flow into that area. And every time there's a rain event, they all start flooding. But on top of that, the raw sewage flows with the runoff. And so therefore it becomes raw sewage floating in these communities. In that community, when you look around, it looks like when Katrina during New Orleans, with everything's boarded up and condemned. And that's kind of what it's like in there, in a lot of the streets there. So I was asked to come down there in 2015 to start helping them with some solutions because there was some government funds set aside to help do a lot of this work, but they weren't really being used. A lot of studies were being done, a lot of outrage in the community. So community leaders reached out to me to help them. And so I went down there to give them some solutions. And it just became too vast. They couldn't really explain it. They loved the idea of the things that we were talking about, but they couldn't get past the point. It was too many things to actually discuss. So I came up with the idea of just creating it as a movement. So no matter what the movement's doing, it's all focused around the sustainability. And since the health of the folks are deteriorating based upon the contaminants, we started with strategies of doing workforce training in those communities, because that community also has a lot of unemployment. So we actually are creating sustainable jobs. And then we go and we start cleaning up houses and stuff, people where they're sleeping, where they're basically getting black mold and all these contaminants. So all the germs and all the other things that are inside the fecal matter and everything that's from the water. And people are sleeping in it. So your immune system drops down during that time of night. And basically it allows these things to take over your body and affect you in negative ways. So we started doing a lot of that work and had a lot of interest globally to bring Operation Smart Move beyond that. So we started in Atlanta. Atlanta is one of the largest markets in the United States anyway. We thought that was a good place to go. We have offices there and we care a lot about the city of Atlanta. So Operation Smart Move was birthed then in 2016. And so we've been doing that since then. It's picked up a lot of steam. And then I created Surge Environmental back in 2019 to do environmental consultancy work. I come from the nuclear industry. My team and myself, we've ran projects up to $3 billion. And we've got a lot of disciplines, also a lot of expertise, including myself, I have a lot. And so that's where we were kind of starting, along with doing a lot of our renewable energy technologies and other things that we have had for years. So then COVID came around and then it changed a lot of dynamics. We converted over into the PPE market because I come from buying, selling, decision maker on what is worn, what products are utilized to actually wearing it. So at the full turnkey thing, unlike a lot of folks out there, they're just selling it because they think they can make money, but they've never worn it, seen it, done it. So, we thought we were in a good position, but we do that, but that's just a very small thing of what we started doing. Ended up with a lot of other technologies. People were bringing me a lot of disruptive technologies to the table. And through a lot of the entities that were doing the PPE, they also do a lot of other major things globally. A lot of financial folks, a lot of large entities. So it sprung forward and birthed a lot of new opportunities for us. And so with that, one of them came was American Veteran Industries. They asked us to be their sourcing agent. They're a service able vet organization that's got certifications with the U.S. government. And so we were their backdrop of bringing them technologies and products to the table. So with that, along with services. So what happened was the owner, Nick Nicholas of AVI, asked me to then become the COO of AVI. So I actually have, I have Surge Environmental, and I am also the number two person inside of AVI. So we work collectively. If it's a if it is a government type of situation, AVI does all that work. And if it's a commercial thing with all of our stuff, we do that. We do that on that side. So we kind of handle the full spectrum of doing things. But since then, we teamed up with the historical Black colleges and universities with their technologies and all their things. There's 103 of those. And then recently we've connected into the MIT collective as well, which we have about 1900 disruptive technologies. So we've become a major force within the, in the market. We're working with a central bank, a sovereign central bank that actually is called the LUMI, and it's got 135 countries in the world, and we're actually providing technologies to them to help with their sustainability models. One of my expertise is sustainability. So we've been doing a lot of very large things in the market to actually provide the solutions based upon what's really needed out there. And the technologies we have, full spectrum of technologies, it actually can help with complete sustainability, turnkey, cradle to grave, with the things that we have with the various inventors, scientists, and entities out there. So we have a very large solution-based thing.
Got it. Amazing, you know. Yes. So, which brings me to my next question in regards to, you know, being a CEO. So you kind of like sound like a very extrovert kind of an individual who gets their energy from the people, right? But during COVID, everyone has been forced to work from home. So right. How was that for you, working from home, working remotely, managing the team, managing sales, customers? How was that for you? I just want you to go back into June, July of last year and just share your experience based on that.
Okay. So we left working in offices. Everybody works out of their house, but this is a typical protocol for everybody out there. This isn't just us. So it's actually worked out fine. All the buyers for the government are working from home as well. And so it really affects that side of things about the human interaction face to face, but we work within WhatsApp app, work at Zoom and different applications where we can do video talks and meetings. So it really hasn't affected us in that way, other than I'm an energy type of person, and basically I like to be around people. And so I like that energy of working in office. You actually get a lot more collaboration in that manner when everybody's in the same room versus being at a distance, but it's worked out well for us. So we would have not been affected negatively by it because we've had a lot of solutions for COVID as well. Part of my since 2014, we've been doing antimicrobial products and things that actually allow us to protect against germs anyway. Things that weren't that popular before COVID have now springboard into the forefront because a lot of the chemical-based products, they still create other problems, plus they're poisonous. And we have a lot of solutions for those things. We've actually been nationwide with our hand sanitizer called Healthy Hands that actually you put on your hands, it's non-alcohol based, and it actually has long-lasting effects. And so with that, it's another one of those solution-based things. So we have a lot of those. And I would say that we're with the people that we are on our team, we have a lot of expertise in that right at the forefront of everything. So actually it's part of our world anyway. It just pushed what we were doing already to the front instead of trying to struggle to try to get different entities to spend a little more money to actually create real solutions. They'll spend the money on bleach versus spending money on stuff that actually is a lot more that will protect surfaces from germs. So for us, it helps the industry. Now there's a lot more competition, but now it's a lot more acceptable. So I would say that was like the only thing it created more competition, but it also lets the things that we are promoting come to the forefront.
Got it. So mental health of your team, yourself, do you want to discuss on that, the Zoom fatigue?
Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't understand what you said. Can you repeat that?
So for the last 4 or 5 months, you know, mental health or Zoom fatigue is someone which everyone is talking about. So those kind of things you faced at your organization, and what steps you took in order to cope up with everything?
Sure. So actually several people on our team have gotten COVID over this last since the beginning. Back in April, myself and the CFO of my company, a real dear friend of ours and a business partner, Lou Sanducci, he actually died of COVID when it first started. He lives in Northern New Jersey, right outside of New York City. And so that was a great effect and another drive for us to do this to help out. But with that, we've had several people that have gotten COVID since then that actually have recovered and most of them are fully recovered. Some are still struggling a little bit. But, you know, people are doing pretty well. But, you know, like I said, working together, having offices and stuff, actually is better for us, but we've actually done very well without it. But it actually adds to more work hours because once you're home and you're at your office all the time, you know, that's what you're doing. So if you go to office, you actually take better care of having breaks and doing other things. But you know how the public is, you can only do certain things. You're restricted by what the regulations are out there, what the science is telling people. And so it just becomes one of those things, you know. So
no, I get that. So last question, you know, what differences, so it's a longer question. So what differences do you have done in your daily routine for you to be much more productive? And with the vaccine rollout and everything happening, how do you see the world evolving post-COVID?
Well, I'm hoping one day that the world goes back to normal. You know, we all have our opinions on this COVID and what's going on. And actually even the wear of PPE, the types of PPE, one thing, so being somebody, I'm not a medical professional, but I am a health and safety professional, and PPE, I understand PPE very well. And it's a very uneducated collective that's telling people what they need to wear and why. And for an example, when we're working in within the healthcare industry or working in the environmental industry, PPE, certain types of PPE is supposed to be utilized for certain types of things. It's not just put on your face whatever you want. Protections come from the types of PPE that you wear. So because there isn't enough N95 masks out there, some people just put a face covering, I guess there's some protection, but and overall, I think that a lot better education needs to be provided so people really understand what the PPE is for and how to wear it so you don't cross-contaminate yourself as well. Because once you put disposable PPE on, once you take it off, you're supposed to throw it away, not keep re-wearing it. Because the risk of getting some contaminants inside of the mask, for example, is much greater. That's why in our world of the medical industry and environmental industry, when you put gloves on, you throw them in the trash bin as you walk out of that area. You never re-wear them. You never wear them twice. And the risk, when you take something off your face, you can't put that back on without it being a clean. If it's a reusable thing, it has to be washed and surveyed. If it's disposable, that's what it means, disposable. You throw it away. You don't reuse it. So there's a risk there that everybody faces at this time for just what they're wearing. So even though we're trying to do the right thing, I feel that it could be done better, a lot better education and actually the protocols and how it goes about. But there's an economic part of that driver as well as why we're not doing that, you know, and also the supply chain, what really wasn't there. And so that ends up with what happens. And that's like 9/11. We have problems till the day. 3 people die a week because of the lack of the proper PPE. The Katrina cough, the same thing, not having the proper PPE to do the job. And every time there's a state of emergency, the PPE goes up. They talk about it as if it's the we're doing the right thing, but honestly, we really need to do better. At some point, hopefully the right experts come to the table and they're the voice and they actually provide the protocols for PPE that actually truly protect people the right way. Because PPE, that P stands for protective, you know? So one of the P's does. So basically we should be doing protecting the people, not a false sense of protection. Because if you don't do the right protocols, when you're taking stuff off and putting it back on even, there's a risk of having contaminants inside of what you're trying to protect against. And so now you're in that closed space that creates a more havoc to your body than if you didn't have it on at all sometimes. So I'm not saying that what people are doing are right or wrong. I'm not that expert, but I am an expert at PPE. And when we do things on our projects, we have to do them a certain way. And that's for a reason. And so understand all contaminants kind of work the same way, depending what it is. Some go airborne, some are removable, smearable, all these different types of things. Germs are the same kind of way. And so just understanding how germs work, any kind of contaminant works, how do you protect yourself is how you protect yourself is very important. Now, hospitals, they may have different protocols. I haven't been in any of the hospitals since this started. I don't really know, other than what's out there in the news and stuff, and what's being reported may or may not be the case, because you know, you just get sound bites a lot of times. You're not really seeing, but in the general public, I see that every day, and I see how PPE is worn. It comes up, comes down, does all these things, and with that creates more hazards. So an educational process down the road would be great for all these things. When we have these state of emergencies, we should have a better path forward for the things that are supposed to be protecting us. That's just my opinion. Again, I'm not a medical professional, so I'm not trying to put it out there like that, but I am from the nuclear industry and environmental industries. I have subject matter expertise on some of these things. And I'm just saying right now that by just doing those things, that would cause hazard for the environmental side for sure. But again, germs work similar to what the environmental contaminants work with the human body, how they come into your portals of entry into your body and how they cause havoc inside of people's bodies. So the protective gear is meant to be used a certain way. And so that's something I would recommend, that maybe one day that'll come forward, and it would help. Be great help if we could do that. So
go on. Bill, thank you so much for being on our show. Thank you for everything. It was great having you. Take care of yourself and stay safe.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Have a good day. Stay safe.
And we have stopped the recording.